Welcome to lesson 140 in our series on God's Will for Your Life, which is our book 4. In this one, we're going to take a look at 10 ways God has clearly said in the Bible He has revealed His will to men and women. Often I get the question, well, the Bible doesn't really say that God tells us what His will is, so how are we supposed to know it? Well, let's take a look, because He does over and over again. If you click on the scroll here, let's look at the verse first. John 16:13 says, "When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth." So the key here is that there's a promise made by Jesus Christ Himself that the Holy Spirit is going to guide us and show us and make it clear God's will for our life. There is a revealed will that we can know. And He, beyond just the Holy Spirit speaking it to us, He guides us and shows us in the Bible. So let's click on the screen and take a look. First, the Bible says that God the Son is to suffer and die for our sins. So Paul in Galatians says, the will of the Father, the will of God is that His Son will pay the penalty for us by dying for sins He didn't commit, but we did. So here's what it says. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. So number one, God's will is that His Son dies for us. Secondly, God the Father wants to save us from our sins. His Son didn't die for nothing. His Son had a purpose in His mission of going to the cross, and that was for us. John chapter 6, verse 40, this is Jesus speaking. He says this, "This is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." God's will is that we believe, trust in what the Son did on the cross so we can be saved. Couldn't be more clear than that. The third one, God says that His will is that people who trust in His Son be adopted as His children into His family. Listen to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. It says this, very clear. This is what I love about the Bible. God doesn't make it hard to understand. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. That's His purpose for us, is that we become part of His family. We were initially, in the beginning when He created man, designed to be His children. We forfeited that. God now has come back to reinstate, to put us back into a right relationship with Him through adoption. Let's look at the next one. Now that we're in His family, now that we belong to Him, now that we're His children, saved people are to be sanctified. First, let's look at the verse. In 1 Thessalonians, this is looking at chapter 4, verses 3 and 7. Here's what it says. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness." So God called us, His will, as we be sanctified. That word, which we're going to study in this series, means to be set apart for Him. To be set apart as holy, just like parents want their children to be set apart in their family to hopefully adopt the values of the parents, raise them up in a way that pleases the parents so the parents are glorified. God the Father has created us, and then He saves us so He can set us apart for Himself and He for us. Next, in Ephesians 5:17, we have another example where God says that people who are adopted in His family, people who are saved, should be filled with Him, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 5 in Ephesians, verse 17. "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit." So there's another example. Clearly, God says, my will for your life is that you allow me, by your own choice, to have rule in your heart, so that you're guided by what I am showing you is right. Just like we pray that when we teach our kids how to live a moral, upstanding life, that they will be guided internally by those principles. Well, it's even better with God because He lives in us. The Holy Spirit desires more than anything to help us and guide us along in life. And then next, it says that saved people, people in His family, should rejoice. They should be praying and be thankful. If we go back to 1 Thessalonians, again, what does it say in there? In 1 Thessalonians, here we're in chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Again, here we have it clear as can be, God's will is you rejoice in being part of His family, you be thankful and you're praying always to Him. And then again, what do we see in Ephesians 6:6? Saved people are to obey Him. What does it say here? Ephesians 6:6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So often when I debate or speak with non-believers, this is the part they hate. They say, why should I have to obey God? Why should He rule my life? You know, we see it a lot with stubborn children in a family. They just don't want to listen to their parents. Their parents can't possibly know what's good for them. They think they make all the rules. Their parents grieve because their kids won't listen. Here's God the Father saying, you know what real faith is, really trusting in me? You obey me because I do know what's right since I created you. This is what someone in the family of God does, is they listen to the Holy Spirit and they obey. And then next, Ephesians 5:21, saved people are to submit. Give thanks always for all things to God your Father. This is verse 20, the preceding verse. To God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. It's submission to one another as a picture of humility and a willingness to follow the Lord. And then the next one, saved people are to do good. Matthew 5:16, Jesus put it this way. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. God's will for your life is that because you obey Him, you love Him, you allow the Holy Spirit to point you and direct you in the way you should live, and you allow Him to have control of your life, He can now work in you and produce in you good fruit, the things that others will notice and know that you're a Christian, because your life will be different. And then finally, saved people are to suffer, not for the sake of suffering, but for His sake. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19 says, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. When you live a life in submission to God, when you follow Him and obey the Holy Spirit as He leads you to do what's right in God's sight, in your Father's sight, there are going to be people, there are going to be situations where people are going to hate it. That's because there's an opposition to you. Satan is a hater of your soul. When you're a child of God, he hates you. You are going to suffer at times for doing what the Father has called you to do. So clearly, here's 10 ways when people ask, I wonder what God's will for my life is. If you can look at these and you can commit yourself to living for your Father in heaven for these, you're doing His will. This is lesson 140.